Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Being Ethel in a World That Loves Lucy by Michelle Olson. 1979 is getting on Piper Penn's nerves. Struggling to survive past tragedies, she finds comfort in old Hollywood movies in her native San Francisco. Seeing no reason to adhere to man-made rules after her first-hand look at the ultimate in hypocrisy, Piper does what she wants, and trouble follows. An unexpected inheritance on a tiny Midwest island in the Straits of Mackinac provides an escape. The mandated stay at the island's glorious Grand Hotel gives her spirits a much-needed boost, especially when she catches the eye of a handsome groundskeeper. When mysterious accusations and headstrong residents send her into a tailspin, she finds friendship from a quirky, I Love Lucy-loving nun who challenges her embittered look at life and faith. Can Piper survive the baffling attempts to derail her inheritance before it's too late? Or has she fallen for a well-planned ruse while falling in love?
Hi, and welcome to this episode of The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. Today I'm talking with Michelle Olson. She's had a 40-year-plus career in advertising and marketing, as well as a writer in all mediums, with an emphasis on health writing. She has a new fiction book out, Being Ethel, and it's based on Mackinac Island in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, a place I've always wanted to visit. So welcome to my show, Michelle.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I'm happy to be here.
So I have to ask, why Mackinac Island? Why did you choose that as your location for your fiction book?
Well, it's probably one of my favorite places on earth. I live about 5 hours away. So I've been going there for over 35 years. So I feel like I really know the island. And then we started staying at the Grand Hotel, which is that huge hotel with one of the world's longest porches. So my husband and I, after our kids were grown, it's a little pricey, we started going about once a year and staying in the Grand Hotel. So I got to know that very well as well. So when I wanted to write a book, I thought it's the perfect place.
Yeah, it is the perfect place, right? I mean, I've not been, again, it was one of my dreams to go there, but I've, you know, read enough, seen enough movies about, you know, base there, place there, and I'm like, oh, it just looks so relaxing.
In fact,
if you wrote a romantic, Somewhere in Time.
So my book takes place, I did it on purpose, in 1979 while they're filming Somewhere in Time with Jane Seymour and Christopher Reeve. That's when the book takes place, and my main character actually gets a bit part in the movie.
Oh, how exciting.
So it's not the main story, but it's part of the story.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's great. That's an interesting way to kind of connect that because, you know, almost everyone who's of a certain age, let's not get into how old we are, but have seen that movie and associated it with Mackinac Island. But writing romantic suspense, it's a little nail-biting as opposed to relaxing. So how did you balance that with the idyllic kind of island setting with the suspense in your book?
Well, I think that suspense can happen anywhere because we're human beings, so it kind of goes along with us. So I like the idea of suspense. I grew up reading Nancy Drew, as many writers did, and I always loved the mystery and the suspense. So I knew that straight romance was probably not going to be my cup of tea. There's always a romantic story, but the suspense is what I probably enjoy even more and actually find it harder to write, but probably enjoy it the most.
Yeah, so what about it do you find difficult? Right.
Well, I don't want people to figure out what's happening. And I'm really thankful and actually humbled and proud that to my knowledge, in being Ethel in a World That Loves Lucy, no one has figured out yet what happens until the twists take place. And I'm really thankful for that because the whole time I was writing, I was like, maybe this is too obvious or they'll figure it out. So far, anyone I've been able to ask has not figured it out. And that has been very satisfying to me.
Yeah, in my debut novel on Dangerous Christmas Memories, I've read some of the reviews, and they're like, no, I didn't see it coming. It wasn't like it was from left field, like they had no idea it would be that person, because I think that's cheating.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to lay enough breadcrumbs, give enough, you know, let the person know this character in some respects, so that when they are revealed as this, or they go, oh, okay, well, that makes sense now. As opposed to, huh? Why? We met this person 2 chapters ago, and all of a sudden he's the culprit? Because we've all had that happen.
Right. It's a fine dance, a fine tension. And I was, as I was writing it, sometimes I'd go back and go, that's too obvious. I shouldn't say that. But then so when I went with my beta readers, I wanted to make sure that I wasn't too obvious, but also it all makes sense in the end.
Yeah, one of the things that I find challenging, I want to say the hardest part, but very challenging about writing romantic suspense, is to make sure that I tie up all those little loose ends, because I hate getting to the end of the book and you're like, well, then why did this happen in chapter 3?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Yeah, so that kind of tying it all in. And then I don't know if you've had this experience, Michelle, but when I was writing, sometimes my subconscious will like layer things in, and then later I'm like, oh, so that's why I had that happen 6 chapters ago. I'm a bit of a pantser, so I have that happen a lot.
I'm a total pantser. In fact, I have to go back many, many times in the editing process and make sure it's still all gelling. I've tried not to be a pantser, but I am a pantser in life, and I am a pantser as an author, and I guess I'll just wear that moniker proudly.
Well, I am actually a really good planner in life, and it's so odd that in fiction I have a harder time with it. But I'm trying to be more of at least a loose outliner so that I can, you know, sell my work on proposal as opposed to writing the whole thing. It's hard to say, hey, buy my book, here are the characters, when I can't say loosely what happens.
That's true. Very true. Yeah, I guess I have very organized chaos, if that's a thing. The chaos.
Sure, let's call it a thing.
It's still chaos, but it works. But I laugh because, you know, I kind of live in a chaos. That's what I do. But then if my husband would want something or I need a document, I can produce it in 2 minutes. So
yes.
Somewhat organized, and I heard a story once which I thought was interesting, and a teacher didn't know if she should make her students have their desks all organized, and her benchmark was if they could produce something she asked for in a very short amount of time, she just let them be, or she let, you know, parents let their rooms be crazy, their kids or whatever, if they could still produce, and that's what I am. I've never missed a deadline in my professional life ever, all that kind of thing, so somehow it's an organized chaos, but it works for me.
Yeah, I know. I used to have people come into my office. Well, if I was working on a project especially, I mean, I tended to keep things in folders and fairly neat. But when I was working on a story, I'd have things all over the place. I worked magazine editor for many years. And so, you know, you have stuff all over your desk. But I could always find, I was like, okay, give me a second. Beep, here it goes. So, the organized chaos can work. And for my kids, as long as their chaos didn't spill into the, open areas in our house, I was like, fine for most of the time.
Right.
You know, every once in a while, you do need to dig out your room, okay? But I'm like, as long as I'm not tripping over your shoes and your backpack and your book, I'll give you some space.
Yeah, because I couldn't ask them to do something that I didn't do.
Right.
So in your space, you be you.
Right. Just don't make me be you in your space and vice versa.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Yeah.
But speaking of kids, so what did you want to be as a child? And did that dream come true for you or not?
What I really wanted to be was an actress.
Mm.
But I grew up in a very tiny town in the 60s and early 70s in Wisconsin. So my chances of being an actress probably weren't great. But I did go on to do actually tons of radio, television, and voice work, and I still do professional voice work. I do commercials and that type of thing. So I feel like the dream just took a different path because I got to do that type of thing, and it served me really well in my professional career, and I think it served me well as a writer. But if I could go be in a sitcom tomorrow, I'd still do it.
Well,
I'd be that older character actress that doesn't start her career till she's like 70 or something.
There are actresses like that, aren't there? Who did that?
There are.
Yeah.
But you have to kind of live in the area where they're actually shooting things, and that's not conducive to me either.
Yeah, probably not in Michigan. But, you know, hey.
Wisconsin. Yeah, I'm in Wisconsin.
Oh, you're in Wisconsin. Okay. Yeah. So, well, I mean, you're kind of, like you said, I mean, you're kind of halfway in that world with your voice work. And so who knows, Michelle? Maybe one day somebody will knock on your door and say.
I didn't know I was going to write a book. You know, if you'd have told me, I always kind of wanted to, but if you really told me 10 years ago, you'll actually write a book and publish it and people will read it and people that you don't even know might read it, I would have been flabbergasted.
That's the key, isn't it?
It's
more than my immediate family.
Yeah. When you get past that, you're like, hey, I don't even know these people, and they're reading my book. That's really exciting.
Yes, yes. That is thrilling, I must admit. Well, I've always wanted to be a writer, weirdly. And so, yes, my dream did come true.
That's
as a child.
You know, I ended up being a writer in marketing and advertising for over 45 years already. So I did, and there's a bit of acting and that kind of thing. And I was a DJ when I was spinning records for years and years as well. So there's a bit of acting that goes into being a DJ too. So I had that portion of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, you know, you're still time, right?
Hey, if anyone from Hollywood is listening right now, look me up.
Call Michelle.
I want to
She's
be
She's ready.
I'm ready.
Well,
I'll
this
be,
has been delightful,
I'll be the
Michelle.
Sitting in the background in a booth doing, you know, drinking coffee. That's fine with me. I'll be a background.
Oh, yeah,
person.
There you go. All right. You need someone drinking coffee and reading a newspaper or writing a book?
I'm your lady.
She's your girl.
Yeah.
She's your woman.
Your girl.
Go give her a call.
Yep, give me a call.
Well, this has been delightful, but unfortunately, we are out of time. Is there anything else you would like our listeners to know before we end our interview time?
Well, thank you so much, Sarah. I've enjoyed our interview, and it's just been my thrill to write Being Ethel in a World That Loves Lucy. I hope people will check it out and enjoy it. I love Lucy. I love old Hollywood. I love Mackinac Island, and that's all reflected in the book, as well as a really fun faith walk with a quirky I Love Lucy loving nun. And you throw that all together, and it becomes a book.
Yeah. No, that's a great endorsement right there. If you so my listeners, stay tuned. You will hear an excerpt from Being Ethel in a World That Loves Lucy, and right after this interview ends. You have been listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hammerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. I've been talking with Michelle Olson. She has had a 40-year career in advertising and marketing. She's a professional voice career as well, but she's also a writer of romantic suspense, so I hope you check out her book. And I hope that you'll join me next time.
Now an excerpt from Being Ethel in a World That Loves Lucy by Michelle Olson. The Annie Hall character said it best, "Well, la-dee-da, la-dee-da. So fancy. There's no other word for the Grand Hotel. Looking at the long white porch with white wicker rocking chairs makes me catch my breath, even through the flimsy pane of this carriage window. The Straits of Mackinac gleaming in the sunshine like shimmering diamonds. I feel like a writer putting down words for a book. Regular thoughts, regular words. I can't find the right ones to encompass all that I'm feeling and seeing. So beautiful and pristine. Gleaming in the sunlight and shimmering waves on sand. Like I'm writing an 1800s novel. Memory after memory is coming back. Trixie and I sneaking in the back way through the tennis court. past the pool and the cascades of blooming lilacs, while running up the stairs to the porch before someone saw us. The thrill of pulling it off and being co-conspirators. The delight of a true friend. Seems like staying here for a 3-month vacation, getting the store and apartment fixed up with a stipend, and selling it to start a new life out of subsidized housing in San Fran may all be one big reward for having a crappy life. Maybe that's how it works. Pay your dues with problems and then get a prize at the end. That's not the story I was told growing up, but then I'm not sure about that story. Sitting on those stupid hard pews every time the doors were open at church gave me a lot of free time to think and imagine things. Sometimes I daydreamed about Jesus, so I didn't feel too bad about that. I wondered what it would have been like to be a sister in that family. If someone broke a clay pot, who got blamed? Obviously, Jesus didn't do it. She knew. He knew. It couldn't have been easy to have him for a brother. My sister was the good twin, and I came off as the evil twin. The fact that she followed the rules turned me into even more of a rule breaker. She didn't get the same grief from Dad when he went off on one of his tirades. Why would she? She never challenged him. Sometimes I hear his voice in my head, and I hate it. But he's gone, and I'm here. Maybe I should pinch myself. Getting to live here for 3 months while my newly acquired business and apartment gets renovated seems, well, sinful. I don't know what Trixie went through to provide this for me. I guess I'll never know. It's all too generous. She had no clue I would come to the island narrowly escaping jail time with a pittance in my pocket. I shouldn't be broke. I should have had enough smarts to work a little instead of living off the small inheritance from my parents' life insurance. I also should have had enough brains not to steal. But maybe my dad was right. He told my sister and me whenever we goofed up, even when we were too young to understand,
"When God was passing out brains, you thought he said trains, and you both said, 'I don't want one.'"
The same guy who told the multitudes that God loves everyone showed us that he didn't mean his own family. But here I am. Me, someone who should be cast in a Ma and Pa Kettle movie, is going to live in the Grand Hotel. If God exists, he has an excellent sense of irony. The reception desk lady says my room will be ready in an hour. I don't mind. I'm just fine taking a rest in these wicker wonders that rock on this oh-so-very-long porch. What a view! The shiny Straits of Mackinac. And I can't stop looking at the Mackinac Bridge and how it perfectly connects the upper and lower peninsula. That's it. No more thoughts about my dad. I'm here on this porch, and I'm going to relax. Most of the chairs are full, but it doesn't feel crowded. I want to stop each tourist and tell them I get to live here, kind of rub it in, because most of them will be staying just a few days. That's a snotty thought. I sure hope this place will rub some nice off on me. This rocking back and forth is soothing, and the sun feels so good on my face. Job number one, make time to sit on this porch every day. I need the calm. Close your eyes, Piper. Soak in the peace. Hope for a fresh start.
Says here, longest porch in the world.
With my eyes shut, I hear a voice in the next chair, which I hoped would remain empty. Christopher Columbus. Now I have to see who's talking. Aha! It's an exuberant, very tan young man reading the hotel pamphlet to a girl who looks at him like he's Christmas morning. Either they're dating or newly married, because she seems almost ready to jump up and kiss the guy. Close your eyes, Piper. Learn a thing or two more about this place. Why not be a fly on the wall for this little show that's presented itself? They remind me of Ally McGraw and Ryan O'Neill in Love Story.
You can only get to this island by ferry boat, and they don't allow any cars on the island, just horses and bikes. Ah! Look at this, honey. 500 horses on this island. See that pool down the hill? Esther Williams herself swam in that pool for the movie This Time for Keeps.
Don't do it, Piper. Keep your mouth shut. Just listen and mind your own business. Yes, it's a 1947 movie, also starring Jimmy Durante, shot in part here at the Grand Hotel. And I recommend it if you ever get a chance to see it, I say. I can't resist spouting movie info. It's like a curse or something. I can't shut up.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.